Actually.
Hello.
There you are, Shane.
Yes,
what happened?
Indeed.
You know, we're saying here, come back, Shane. Come back.
Just came up from the cellar, so we're all right.
Exactly. It's a very important moment, this, Shane.
Yes, because of course. Yes,
indeed. Not only have we actually had Angela Rippon in the studio, in the house, as we like to say, keeping it real.
Yes.
I feel she needs a bit more flavour, a bit more bossy. She'd be okay. You know, work our way through that.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But as Hannah O'Brien rightly said, this is a really meaningful interview with yourself, Shane. Yeah,
yes.
I know. You might well laugh. I have been tempted to do
that. Oh, I'm not laughing. I'm sort of chuckling a little bit, but I'm not laughing.
Why is it such an important moment, Hannah, in your life, really?
Well, my first...
Are we on or are we off?
We are live. We are live now. Sorry, Shane. I should have warned you. But then I
never know with you. I mean...
I know that...
God,
you know,
things don't dip at all, do they? This goes... Anyway, yes, fine. We're going up... Sheila and I are going up to Royal Air Force Museum in Cosford, you know.
Let's hold that little piece for a moment, Shane, because
that was my big item. You're telling me to hold it.
I am, because there's time to do that, because it's time.
Okay,
our Rookie of the Year, although you wouldn't know about her recent sort of month's activities on the show, but never mind, or lack of activities, I should say.
How's Michelle? Is she all right?
She's very good, actually, Shane. She's on top for
my regards, my warmest regards.
I like to celebrate people together. It's like one big happy family, really.
Yeah.
As indeed Nicola Clancy will attest to. Hannah, why is this a particularly memorable moment for yourself?
Well, my first ever Midweek Drive show, I think that we were actually talking to you, Shane, and you were one
really?
Of my first ever interviews on the Midweek Drive.
God, and you survived that, did you?
Mm-hmm. Just about. I'm back for more, so it obviously worked well before.
From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls, my meeting with Hannah O'Brien. That's the sequel, basically, the subtext. My meeting with Hannah O'Brien.
I was actually quite starstruck that day, because... same as Natasha Turney is now. We both love the Thunderbirds. Both very excited to be talking to you, Shane.
It is. Is that true, Natasha?
I love Thunderbirds. My brother had all the toys and I stole them.
Do you?
I watched all of the programmes.
And Nicola, where do you do with Thunderbirds? Are you a fan of Lady Penelope? Is this something that you sort of bond towards? And move that microphone round so we can actually sort of hear your dulcet tones, because you arrived very early, which is nice from that point of view. You're sorting all sorts of your official chauffeur for the whole thing. What do you think about Thunderbirds?
I must say, I think it was more my brother that was more into Thunderbirds than me.
I see you, Nicola, more of a kind of Tintin person, as in Tintin in Thunderbirds.
Mm. Yeah.
The daughter of Kirano. Kirano. Mr. Tracy.
Oh, God, I forgot about him. Yes, Kirano.
Everybody does, you know. Yes. And Grandma, I should say. There's no sign of Grandpa. Yeah, very, very peculiar.
It always sounds a bit like we're in your living room or something. But that's not a bad thing, is
it? No, exactly. You know, I've got to have somewhere to keep me warm these days, and I think, why not, a radio studio is as good a place as any, you know. Let's do it for 25 hours shortly. We will. Anyway, yes. Ed, are you a Thunderbirds soul, Ed Wellman?
Actually, my sister was the Thunderbirds expert in our house. So
the reverse of Nicola.
We took on everybody, I tell you.
Very true. The crucial thing, of course, is Katie Grimerson. Thunderbirds for yourself, Katie?
I'm going to be honest and say no.
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 You were probably into the... Space Odysseys and all that.
I gave Katie her first episode of Magnum PI to actually watch last night. Did you bring it back, by the way, Katie?
Yeah, I did.
Marvellous. You see, it's exemplary. just straight in there. Watch it on the night before the show. Sort it. Angela Rippon would be proud, you know, to get that sort of thing sorted out.
I'm not a journalist student.
There you are. You see, I'm not a journalist student.
American studies student.
Exactly. Yeah. She focuses on that whole
Star Trek.
and why not, indeed? That's crucial, as indeed Phil Leonis will say when he actually joins us later on in the production. Shane, let's get back to where people can actually see not just yourself, but also the voice of Hiram Hackenbacher. That would be Brains. David Graham. And the voice of Alan. I'm secretly in love with Lady Penelope, but she's probably too old for me, so I'll actually go with Tintin instead.
He was that went on for a long time.
It did, didn't it? You know,
yes.
32 episodes, really. Never mind.
That's a long time.
It is very much. The voice of Alan Tracy as well. That's Matt Zimmerman.
You know, know what? I always thought that Matt was short form for Matthew.
Yes.
And it's not. He wrote me off one day and said it's Matthias.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of Matthias as a front name?
Did you? I'm glad you raised that, because when Matt Zimmerman finally comes on the program, and I know we've spoken about this, Shane, with your good self,
yeah,
for the last 26 years, so we're still waiting. It's all right. It'll happen.
Yeah, you know? You've got to be very particular about that one.
Exactly.
You know, don't call him Matthew, or else you'll call out the fire engine. I don't know.
He would throw that phone down,
yeah,
and would not wish to be partaking of the thing in any
no,
way, shape, or form.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Whereas David Graham, right, of course, presumably Davy Baby, is perfectly okay. There you go. So share with us, where can the three of you Thunderbirds folk personified in every sense of the word, where can you actually be found?
Now
shortly?
We can be found on the ground at the Royal Air Force Museum in Cosford. Now I don't know, I haven't been there yet, so I mean I know we go up the M1 and we go up on Friday, stay overnight in the hotel, and then on Saturday is a big affair, and it's quite a celebration. As a matter of fact, David Graham took his training as a radio operator there in Cosgrove. It's a wonder we won the war. I mean, he's not the most...
Look, he was brains in Thunderbirds. He built all the stuff without brains.
Of course he did, yeah. I forgot his other...
His alter ego.
Alter ego, yeah.
But you're quite right. I don't know how we won the war, but still.
Anyway,
we did.
That was before that. Okay.
And that's when is that happening? When?
It's this Saturday.
This Saturday in Cosford.
Yeah.
I'll just test the studio team, actually, Shane, and the listener indirectly.
All right.
Tasha, Cosford, do you know where it is?
I've never heard of it before.
Hannah?
I have to admit.
There'll be a lot of people getting there.
Either. No? But I'm going back to Gloucester this weekend.
You're going back to Gloucester this weekend.
Anyway.
All right. Katie?
Is it Shropshire?
Shropshire.
Yeah, it's going to take us about 3 hours to get there, I think.
We don't know.
Which way is that, east or west from
London? Bedfordshire. It's going to be all over the place.
Nottinghamshire?
Anyway, it's the RAF Museum in Cosford. I tell you, I'll use that.
Yeah, the doors are open, and they'll be from 10 a.m. until 4:30, and they're expecting to have quite a turnout, and it's going to be quite a day, I think. I mean, I think this is the first time they've actually put this thing into motion, and it's... They've got quite a lineup, and the aircraft and all the personnel and everybody, they're all waiting for you. So try to get there if you possibly
Technology
can.
Has brought a result. Is it Katie who did you actually discover this?
I said Shropshire.
Yes, exactly, Katie. Yeah. It is in Shropshire.
You know, Shane, if you're going to an RAF base, you should go to Waddington.
Waddington,
it's in Lincolnshire.
Oh, is it?
Then come to Siren after.
Yeah.
There'll be a time when Shane comes on to Siren. It'll happen. Yeah.
Well, I'll find my little peak cap and get on my way then.
Very important.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, Shane. We were talking about him earlier in the production, and it was mentioned that we weren't sure how much North American or Native American Indian Johnny actually had to claim to actually be Tonto in the next episode, or the movie version of The Lone Ranger. Now, you worked with Johnny Depp in the fabulous...
His last
movie, in fact. You know, Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
So, you know, did you think he looked like a Native American?
He could well be taken for that. I mean, the race has got slightly mixed and interwoven over the years. They were a fantastic race, the Red Indians. I knew some. I mean, I worked in a radio station, small one, in Orillia, just north of Toronto, and there was a big reservation there. And they were lovely people. They were terribly mistreated in Canada, as they were in America. I mean, they were treated as a sort of an underclass, which they weren't. As a matter of fact, they had a kind of wisdom that I wish most people walking around today had. I mean, they were immense people, lovely people.
Which is good. So, as our second Canadian on the show today, Shane, following in the footsteps of Cameron Tilbury, Shane, as a Canadian, do you think Thanksgiving is important? Because you have a different Thanksgiving day, don't you?
Yeah. I think it's, what, a week different. Anyway, it's the same bird. We all got the turkey on the table.
It's a bit gamey, isn't it?
You know, two glasses of wine, and away we go, and a roaring fire. We don't have any sort of fireworks or anything, I don't think.
Do you think the Americans take this Thanksgiving and, of course, Black Friday, which is coming up very shortly, do they take it too seriously?
Well, I mean, I think it's the time of our civilization that you have to let yourself go a little bit. I mean, there's so many wobbly things going on at the moment. And, you know, it's nice to celebrate that you're still there. You're still a part of quite a country. I mean, it goes through all sorts of crises like every country does. But I think you've got to blow your top every once in a while. And it's a family thing. Your family is I mean, everybody gets together. Wherever your closest relatives or furthest away relatives are, you get there on Thanksgiving. And I think, really, they do celebrate it in a lovely sort of way. They are giving thanks for where they are, who they are, and I just think it's rather a lovely day in the life of all of us.
It is.
Over there.
And Katie, will you be going to the Thanksgiving celebrations they'll have at the University of Lincoln tomorrow?
Yeah.
You meet well, exactly. Whereas, of course, she should actually be attending the exciting thing, which is the literary quiz at the Dogenberg.
Oh, no, not tomorrow. Friday, I will.
Friday.
Be.
That's
yeah.
Friday. See, I'm very confused.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Days for it. I'm looking at shanerimmer.com at present, Shane.
Yeah.
Seeing the three Thunderbirds, as it's there, Shane, Matt, and indeed
David
at Autographica.
Yes.
That's Shane, Matt and David. And I'm thinking, surely this is written large for a version of Three Men at an Autographica convention. Bit like Three Men in a Boat.
Three Men in a
but
Boat,
yeah,
yes.
But with autographs. You know, it's great. You know, I float that by you because I know the creative juices always start flowing at this time of day. And it's,
yes, indeed.
It's worth considering.
Should, too.
Tasha.
You know,
over here, we're looking at Shane Rimmer filmography.
Yes.
And we're looking at Batman Begins.
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I saved 50,000 lives in New York when I did
you
that
did.
Film.
50,000
lives. I'm sure you
lives.
Did. An Alien Autopsy. We're interested in that one too.
Mm. Oh, what are the names?
Ant and Dec.
Sorry,
it's
yes.
very confusing.
Right.
You know, it's a bit like Tasha and Tiffany. I don't
yes.
know. If they're in the same room, it's difficult to tell
yeah,
who's who. Really,
starting to swim in front of my eyes a bit. Mm. Okay, yeah. They're
what was
a,
it like
they're
doing
a
that?
Lovely bunch, those two. My God, they do well, don't they?
Well, look, they're in the jungle, aren't they? Do we need to say any more? Are they back
yeah.
in the jungle again?
Yeah,
oh,
they
no,
are.
Not
are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they
oh,
are.
God. Yeah, that's what I frequently say.
You're not going, are you, Alex?
No. Well, I'm not. It depends. I don't think they could afford me, actually, but still, you know, it's about... look, I'm open to
yes.
negotiation. I'll say here now, it's open to negotiation. I've done... I did Natural Born Dealers, nothing to do with drugs. It was antiques, all right? It's reality television. It's easily confused. Only ran for one at once.
You got that
sorry.
Last line in pretty quick.
Yeah, Excel was the way.
Yes. Shane, if you were asked by Ant and Dec to go into the jungle and do all their little bush tucker trials, would you do it?
No.
Good.
Why not? Are you scared of, the insects?
He ain't scared of anything, girl.
No. I wouldn't like to take off my T-shirt. And I think that's one of the requisites.
Wow, exactly.
No, I don't know. I think you've got young blood in you and taking on anything, it's okay. But I think once you get past 104, it's, you know, it's a bit of a trial.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I find my 106th birthday quite a challenge. But so there we are.
Invite me, thanks.
It happens. Nicola, would you like to throw those last two questions on behalf of your brother to Shane Rimmer?
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Shane?
Yes, I do. I love it when there are lots of voices coming in. Because,
I get so boring,
first
really.
First of all, you can't prepare anything, yeah. which can be a bit risky. But secondly, it's a nice sort of a group to get into, and it's nice to hear people who are interested in this sort of area of your life. Oh. And that's good.
Yeah. It makes the heart of a young man very warm.
Oh, it does joy. Warm
it. Yeah, it does. It warms those cockles like
yeah.
no, but it's just wonderful, really. Coming up next, Shane, we've got Arthur Weingarten, producer of Murder, She Wrote and May Green.
Oh, yes, yes, he's an interesting-looking man. I don't know him, but he's certainly got a good CV going for him.
And we've also got some very exciting news about Arthur's wife, Annette Andre. I'll reveal it now. What the hey? Annette Andre was actually voted by UK cult TV agencies and organisations the best 60s supporting actress of the 1960s and 1970s. So there we are. Good news to Annette Andre.
That's
well
rather
done.
Nice.
Exactly.
Jugged a whole little off, isn't it, one of those?
Next week, she's going to be talking about Richard III and how he was much maligned in her monthly letter from New York.
Ah, well, that would be interesting, because that's still a very controversial area, that one.
It is indeed.
And if he is you know, if he wasn't the blackguard that everybody has painted him down, then it's about time that somebody got clear of the air a bit.
Just desserts, quite rightly. Nicola, did you ask that other question?
No, I didn't.
Well, then go for it, then.
Can we look forward to chatting to you in the very near future, Shane?
I hope so. I mean, Alex gets me up now every fortnight, so I don't... No, it's not quite that often. No, it's always a delight. I never know what he's going to ask. I don't think he knows what he's going to ask, but it always ends up rather delightfully.
Well, I mean, Thanksgiving service, discussion topics, the historical thriller, cultural iconic immortality, and the appeal of the divine. I think it's fairly self-evident, Sean.
God, that's a list, isn't it?
Read the running order, my boy.
Yeah, I have it right in front of me.
Shane, we salute you. We'll see you again very soon.
Okay, well, all the best to everybody. Yeah. Cheers, cheers.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
The truth is always out there. Sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
So, on a show which has already featured Angela Rippon, Jean Bruce Scott, Penny Roberts, Cameron Tilbury, Shane Rimmer, and Michelle Monroe, who have variously worked with the likes of Stanley Kubrick and a whole heap of other good authors, Johnny Depp, and so on and so forth. Who can we actually add to? I mean, who do you think, Katie? Who should we actually sort of bring on board or invite to join this little soiree here, or indeed sort of early afternoon sequence if we were in a New York state of mind in this pre-Thanksgiving special?
Arthur Weingarten.
The legend that is Arthur Weingarten we're referring to here. Arthur, are you there?
I am. I'm always speechless after your intro.
It's very critical from that sort of thing. Already we've had the revelation today that Tasha and Hannah are thinking of actually doing a woman's hour kind of program, as if there weren't enough of those things around, etc. But still, they've already booked various other folks to do that, so splendid news on that. Arthur, are you in a New York state of mind?
Yes.
Is there something in the statement that, you know, East Coast, West Coast, somehow there's, you know, ne'er the twain shall meet? I know there's, obviously, you've got the excitement of Manhattan and the range of things there and the West Coast scenario. Do you still find there's tension within the states about those two ends of the coast?
Well, there is, without a doubt. But, you see, I you happen to hit me among millions of others, I'm certain, who are of two minds, having lived equal amounts of my life on both coasts, so but there is definitely, there's a world of difference between the two. A world of difference, yeah.
It's always important. It's a bit like Lincoln and the rest of England, actually, in many ways. People have said exactly the same thing. It's a different world entirely. It's all right, we celebrate that.
I was going to say, except that you have some validity in being the centre of the universe.
Oh, Alpha, please.
We can't claim that.
Are you suggesting I'm a black hole? What's going on here? I don't know. A very important announcement needs to be made here. We've already shared it with Shane Rimmer, but we'll say it once again, because for 2012, Cult TV's 19th Annual Hall of Fame has actually voted Best Actress for 60s and 70s classic television. Who might the result of that be, Arthur? Who is Best Actress for 60s and 70s television as voted by the fine folk of Cult TV's Annual Hall of Fame? It is...
It is my wife, I am so proud to say, Annette Andre.
Yay! Round of applause, please! Crucial, and it's, as I say, now she can work on being best New York correspondent. It's going to be a battle. Could you share it with yourself and Peter Franklin? Amazing stuff.
You know, I must say something. There is a plethora of awards all over the world of every single kind, but when you get something that is voted not by your peers in any given business, whether it's millinery or show business, but when the people vote, that actually means something. I mean, here are shows that were done 40 and more years ago, and they resonate today, and to be able to say that someone says, no, her work lives not just back then but now, is really an accolade. I think it's wonderful.
I shall be providing some of the team with some episodes of Randall Hotgog to see Stan Moore before the whole thing sort of wraps up. Nicola, any questions you'd like to put to Arthur at this stage? I just remind you and the listener, Arthur, that we actually have in the studio a fantastic quintet of quality, as we refer to it over here. We have Nicola Clancy, Ed Wellman. He's the nice young man who had read part of the book last time around, and Ed's back.
Yes, exactly.
Katie Grimerson, of course, Birmingham's top representative here. Katie G, she's at top of the tree. Hannah O'Brien, Gloucester's finest, as we've just heard, and indeed Tasha Turney. Oh, there we are.
Hello, all of you.
Actually, Arthur, whom would you like to actually ask you a question? Let's go to you. Who would you like to actually ask you a question from that little fivesome of pulchritudinosity?
Well, I'll just take out of the air Hannah.
There you go. Many people have wanted to take Hannah out of the air for quite some time. Carry on.
Hi there, Arthur.
Hi, Hannah.
I know that Alex was very excited last time you were on the show, I think, that he had the script for Galt's Brain.
Oh, yes, Galt's Brain, Wonder Woman.
Which was Wonder Woman. I've actually been interviewing someone who's been dressed up as Wonder Woman for 2 whole weeks.
Really?
Yeah, 2 whole weeks, non-stop. Apart from washing and cleaning the costumes, she's been raising money for Cancer Research UK. Her name's Cassie Watson. But how do you think that's a good use for Wonder Woman's name?
Oh, I think absolutely. Number one, you realize, of course, when Wonder Woman was on all those years ago in the 60s, women still were viewed as a vast minority in every single area, including television. To be a lead on a television series and to be a female was really almost unheard of. So Linda Carr and a few others led the way. But A, to have Wonder Woman live, as I was just saying about Annette, you know, from all those years, and use it as an icon, I think it's fabulous. I think it's wonderful. Yeah.
And
how much money was raised? Was it a goodly amount?
We're on day 10 at the moment, so she's still got 4 days left. But she was aiming for £500. She's now well above £700.
Well, isn't that terrific? Those magic amulets are probably attracting the pounds or something.
Yeah, I think there must be.
And of course, let us not forget the lasso of truth, because fundamentally, Charles Moulton, who created Wonder Woman, actually also invented the lie detector machine. So, you know, there's a rationale for that.
There you are.
I love Wonder Woman. I've got a pair of Chuck Taylors with Wonder Woman on, what I had for my 21st.
It just goes to show there that Wonder Woman still, and I think it's time we featured Linda Carter as well. We need to actually sort of set the lines in motion. 1970s, I think, Wonder Woman had all worked through that. Of course, prior, Arthur, another show that you worked on, The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., Stephanie Powers. Not quite the same. She tended to always look to Mark Slate, played by Noel Harrison, or indeed Mr. Waverly, for support and advice in various ways. It's an interesting sort of perspective in terms of how things develop and that notion. And it brings me neatly to the other question I've always wanted to put to yourself, Arthur. So I think tonight is the night, or at least this afternoon is this afternoon if you're over in New York. Given that you worked on a number of shows, and occasionally, as we know, rights permitting, in Hollywood there are what are called crossovers. So you might get, in the case of Magnum P.I., Angela Lansbury's character of Jessica appearing in an episode of Magnum, and maybe vice versa. So were there any times in terms of fantasy casting here where you were tempted to say, when perhaps you were producing Murder, She Wrote, perhaps I should actually bring in Steve Austin, the $6 million man here, and see how he reacts to Angela Lansbury's character. Just a thought.
Yeah, well, actually, it was done quite often, and still today, although much more limited today because the fragmentation and the CSI over here, the crime thing, has 8 different venues on at one time.
We're still waiting off for CSI Lincoln, but I think it's in the works.
I want to tell you, that's not a bad idea. You're probably in line.
In fact, already outside the main building, there is a big blue line that's actually outside there. Now, it's supposed to be a do not smoke beyond this line. I think it's either a force field or, indeed, the opening strike to actually have a CSI series based here.
Which way is the line facing, outward or inward?
This is exactly what Hannah's just said. Smoke does not pass over. If you're on the other side of the line, that's it. You're separated. Yeah.
It's the first time they put the line up. They scrubbed the floor first. They drew it round.
It was very good.
And Smoke has stood there inside the line.
I thought it was actually supposed to be the outline of a body, which we always used to see on that basis. But maybe they got carried away. It's just a square sort of hook. But you're absolutely right. CSI works through that. I've seen Hawaii Five-O connect with a new series with our routine, etc. But yeah, I mean, were there any which you would ideally, when you were producing or writing, when you thought, I would have quite liked to have introduced that?
Well, it's interesting. During the time that I was doing Ironside, when I was writing and producing the last year of Ironside, I had started to work on obtaining the rights to the May Gray series of books. And there are more than 200 of them that Simenon wrote. And the way he would license them was 10 at a time, 5 at a time, 20 at a time, to various countries around the world. England, America, Thailand, Finland. It was berserk. I'd never come across it, nor had anyone else. So that in the acquisition of it, I knew that I could see I'd be collecting Social Security over here, which starts at age 65, and I was in my late 20s then. So, you know, it was seemingly an impossible idea, and I thought if I could accelerate it by introducing the May Gray character, even though I had no rights to it whatsoever, I could make allusions to it under the Freedom of Information kind of act in which we have here the fair use doctrine. If you mention
I see where you're going to actually work your way around that legal loophole.
Yes, so I attempted to get Richard Burton on the show on Ironside to act as a man who, because in truth, in real life, Richard Burton loved the May Gray novels, and he had read every single one he could get his hands on, and he was really a rather expert at the plots and the characters. So I had become somewhat friendly with him at doing some shows in England during the time I was doing Ironside, and I contacted him, and he said, indeed, I would love to play May Gray one day, but I'm sorry, I can't come on Ironside. I'm in.
Outrageous. It's his loss, Arthur. That's all I can say.
Yes, you know, I must say, I got publicity on that in Variety and then in the New York Times. They kindly picked up my quest, and that accelerated my getting the rights to May Gray by something like 5 or 6 years later. I had them.
You've got to just put that thing out there. Now, Arthur, I'm going to actually invite you to actually take part in a little exclusive now, because in 24 hours from now, we will actually be in the Dog and Bone in John Street in Lincoln. That's the Dog and Bone in John Street in Lincoln, doing the annual Lincoln Literary Quiz, which I'll be hosting together with Sarah Bullimore and, of course, the Midweek Drivettes, those of us who will actually be there, who will also be assisting this. Now, this is the exclusive. I'm going to give you a question from one of the quiz things, because it's a literary-based quiz, and I'm going to ask you, would you give me a number between 1 and 70? This is an exclusive, because we'll also reveal it. You know, if you're listening to this, it gives you an extra bonus for this. So give me a number between 1 and 70, please, Arthur Weingarten.
54.
I see. Right. And then going for number 54. Question 54. William Wordsworth had a cottage in Grasmere. What was the name of that cottage? William Wordsworth, a cottage in Grasmere. What was the name of that cottage?
Well, funnily enough, I know that it was called Beats Me.
Ah, nice response there, but wrong answer. I see what we actually did. Very good. I'm not going to reveal it now, because, you know, it would be... I'll say Phil Leonis, he might pick up on that particular one in the whole thing. But anybody in the studio like to? Because that's the sort of...
How many people, Alec, I must ask you, because I already feel so diminished I cannot tell you.
Oh.
How many people do you expect will know that?
I really don't know. I just blame John Wenham. He's the guy who actually writes the... I just deliver them. I try to actually put on a bit of spin and actually say... You know, what's happening here, you know. But actually, to be fair, I've worked through a whole range of sort of factors that are actually in the whole thing. I did manage to score, amazingly enough, 100% in the James Bond section. Oh, there we are. That says something.
Really?
Possibly I need to get a life. Anyway, would you, Ed, like to throw those last two questions to Arthur Weingarten, please?
Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this afternoon?
As always, and it escalates in the good time, yes.
Marvellous. And can we look forward to connecting with you again soon?
I certainly hope so.
We've already signed you up and Annette, of course, for our grand 25-hour spectacular.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to that.
It's
yes,
going to be yeah, wonderful. But Arthur Weingarten will return. So will Phil Linus after Teed. Was Teed, Your Love. That's the kind of blast which will make the LA freeway just that little bit more bearable, won't it, Phil Linus?
You know what? No, it's kind of every nightmare I have of the LA freeway.
Phil, it's been
crap.
It's been three.
You know what?
It's been 3 English weeks since 21 European days. Since we last actually connected. Since such time, of course, Lily Holliman bravely stepped into the breach, and indeed so did Dean Hagland. I think he found it a little bit bizarre when we started going on to the pig routine, but, you know, Dean being Dean, consummate professional, dealt with it. You may have heard the podcasts. If not, why not? How are you, sir? Did you manage to catch any of the show this evening? Is it just a case of, no, I'm in my car, I'm in traffic. What do you think? I can't listen and drive at the same time.
No, I listened to, of course, the first hour, and actually there is a topic that is very close to my heart that I will address in my director's notes.
Oh.
So it's been an all-star lineup today, so it's fun to be back.
It's good to have you back, sir.
I have no idea when I'll next be able
exactly
to visit with you.
Yeah.
December
the 21st.
And the rest of this month.
20th.
I may not talk to you again until the Mayan calendar marathon.
That's very true, exactly. And that's a treat, you know, personified. Of course, it'll mean that Hannah will probably not be entering the studio again in any way, shape, or form. She's interviewing one of the Logan Lincoln celebrities who's actually switching on the Lincoln Christmas lights tomorrow, just ahead of the event of Thursday evening, of course, which is the Lincoln Literary Quiz in aid of Inspiring Lincoln. Lincoln Inspired, to be precise, at the Dog and Bone Pub, established in 1856 as a traditional real ale public house. It's in John Street, and there are 70 questions and already a couple of the prizes we've announced. An autographed Siren Midweek Drive Adventures in Radio Broadcasting calendar featuring the whole team. Yeah, everybody's in the whole team. Apart from yourself, Phil, sorry, but you know, didn't make the cut this year. I have to break it to you. Signed by Angela Rippon, who also didn't make the cut, but she's at least signed the calendar. And a Midweek Drive mug, you know. Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee mug. Yes, that's it's genius. Genius stuff.
Well, I certainly hope. It sounds exciting, and I hope you're sharing that for the benefit of the listeners, because it's
yes,
really more information than I needed.
That's true. What, you mean you're not getting on the plane and flying over just for the Lincoln Literary Quiz? Why, Phil Linus. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving,
next
by the
year,
way. Yes. Okay. Yep. Now, you know who's in the studio. Nicola is in the studio. Ed is in the studio. Katie's in the studio. Hannah's in the studio. Without DVDs, I've given up these days. And as far as the DVD of the truth is out there, she's just obviously kept it as a ransom, sort of bargaining chip. That's clearly the sort of purpose on this basis.
I just don't want to give them up, Alex.
Yeah, we sometimes, you know, if you love something, you've got to let it go. All right, that's the key thing. Let it go. That's the point. And, of course, Tasha Turney, or as you like to say, Natasha Turney. Very good. Who do you want to go to, Phil? Who would you like to address your director's notes to? Just to give you sort of a heads up on time, you've got a little over 720 seconds.
Oh, my. I there's so much math. 21 European days, 720 seconds. My head is spinning.
Yeah.
Which is not a good place, because I'm headed to a studio right now to do an interview with our friend Ethan Dettenmeyer.
Hey.
About a charity event for homeless children.
Yes.
He puts on every year. It's the only Christmas that many of these homeless children get, and I'm going to interview him to help him promote this event right now.
Well, pass on our best wishes to Ethan, because he had a cracking debut. And you know what you need to say to Ethan? The pumpkins are out. Okay? The pumpkins are out. Yeah, that's
that. Now, I hope that interjection doesn't count against my 720 seconds.
No.
I actually, there was something that Angela asked when talking with Jean Bruce Scott about Johnny Depp playing Tonto and about the reaction to non-Native Americans getting cast in Native American roles. And this has been an ongoing conversation in which I have been involved since, really, I started in this business. And it always comes down to, for me...
You're not going to talk Cloud Atlas here, are you, Phil?
Oh, no, you've heard my thoughts about that.
I have, indeed.
But it does harken back to that issue, which, you know, so many Asian American groups are up in arms over Cloud Atlas, and rightfully so, because, you know, we're not allowed to have Asian or Asian American men play Asian or Asian American men. And it's this same issue, and it comes up time and time again whenever let's face it, it's always a Caucasian actor plays a person of color in a film. And there are
Are you saying Al Jolson was wrong, Phil?
I'm saying that there are so few roles for people of color that understandably performers and performer groups get really upset about this. But to me, the heart of the issue is that, first of all, a director should always be allowed to cast whoever they want to, whatever actor they think is right for a role, regardless of their color or their background. That's who the artist should get to cast. And we wouldn't have a problem if the door of opportunity swung both ways. If Native American actors were considered for roles that were quote-unquote written for white people, and in the eyes of Hollywood, any role where an ethnicity is not specified is automatically assumed to be a white role. And I say this from personal experience, because I've been in pitch meetings, and when asked what actors I considered for certain roles, I would say actors of color, and the executives would say to me, but that part's white. And I would say, why do you think that part's white? There's no indication in the script that that character is white. And their response would always be, well, it doesn't say he's black, it doesn't say he's Asian, it doesn't say he's Native American, so therefore he must be white. And if we didn't view it through that particular lens, if we just thought, you know what, any actor of any skin color, of any background, of any ethnicity that is right for a particular role because of their talent, because of their unique experiences, their unique life story, whoever's right for it, if we let that door of opportunity swing both ways, we wouldn't constantly hear of the outrage about Johnny Depp playing Tonto, for example.
That is a worthy statement and a rightfully right-on piece of work. We've got 33 seconds now, and I'm going to actually play this for you, Phil.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul. The Peace Fund focuses on small, underfunded and hard-working charities who set out to make a positive difference to children living in very difficult circumstances. The Peace Fund has provided support for children living on the streets of northern Romania, assisted children in the USA who needed transplants, helped earthquake victims in Haiti, as well as tsunami orphans in Thailand. And now we need your help. As an individual, as an organization, as a business, there are so many ways you can make a difference. To see how donations directly improve the lives of the children we support, please visit thepeacefund.org today.
And in case you're wondering, that was indeed the voice of Highlander Adrian Paul in a piece which you sent over to me, Phil, and said, can we play this? I said, of course we can. But you'd like to play basically, I mean, it's just all good things, because not only are you actually, we've got Ethan Detmeyer doing his piece, we've got clearly Hannah's colleague Cassie Watson being Wonder Woman for 10 days?
14 days.
14
in total.
Days She's wearing the same Wonder. Don't those tights chafe a little? You know, those shorts?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but her boots are massive. I don't know how she walks
boots.
In those every day.
Yeah. I find that the shorts.
Boots?
Yep.
Boots.
Knee-high boots.
Honestly, okay. Sometimes I think Phil's doing all sorts of
I almost drove off the road.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a 6-lane highway. How many lanes have you got there, by the way?
No, I actually have already stopped.
Very good.
That was just a joke.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Chips could be after you, California Highway Patrol. Now, there was a series. We must get Eric Estrada to connect with us. A whole range of things there. But, yes, so explain, Adrian Paul, what's the significance of that little piece that we'll obviously be playing again at various times for the Peace Fund?
Well, Adrian is a wonderful actor and an even better man, and he founded the Peace Fund, which is an organization whose aim is to protect, educate, and aid children everywhere. 94% of all the money this organization raised actually ends up going directly to the people it benefits, which is an astonishing percentage for charity. So when I was given the opportunity and asked to come on board to create a series of both audio and video public service announcements, of course, I said yes, and so we've been working closely to create a whole campaign to promote Peace Fund, and in fact, I was hoping that maybe Adrian would fill in for me 1 week in December here on the Midweek Drive, and you could ask him about that, and
there can only be one. There can be only one.
There is only one.
There is only one.
Dean explained to me he was never defeated.
Exactly.
He was never defeated, so he still is the Highlander.
Exactly. Although I still think Christopher Lambert's incarnation of Highlander was quite unique in its own way. If you like rock musicals with Queen soundtracks. Let's move on, Phil. Time is a routing, and we've already seen Nicola Clancy almost suppressing a yawn. And I can't have that. You know, I can't. She's had a hard day. She's working through all sorts of things. And, you know, we need to keep Nicola entertained. Otherwise, well, life's not worth living, is it really, Nicola?
Nothing bores Nicola like talk of helping children.
That's terrible.
It is, exactly. Bring back the hens. Carry on, Phil. Are you going to get a hen house? They're only £600.
What?
Yeah. Henny penny hen houses. First part of the program.
Well, now again, £600. I'm so confused. Are you referring to money, or are you referring to weight?
Ah, yes, good point. They're all very competitively priced, I think, is the official line from that point of view, and a free guide to keeping chickens.
And she did say boots.
She did say boots.
Boots, as in shoes. Things that you wear on your feet.
Good. I think it's the Gloucestershire accent translated across the airwaves, really.
I definitely do not have a Gloucestershire accent.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Wow, it just went from a magical show to a kind of a somber occasion. It's co-presenter against co-presenter in the studio.
Well, right there now. We are.
We'll bring you a real Gloucester accent. And
yeah, we'll bring one back from Gloucester for you.
Yeah. Gloucester old spots and various other things. You can herd it across the motorways, can't you?
Oh,
yeah,
I could, sure. Couldn't I?
Get it in the car, sort it out then. You know, marvellous stuff there. Keep going, Phil. You know, Ed's keen to find out what else you thought about the show, if nothing else. And Katie, bless her, she's still sort of sitting...
I'm thinking of Mark Harvey. Sorry.
I bet that's a line Deed Haglund has never used on any of the 200-odd Chill Pack Hollywoods. I'm thinking of Mark Harvey. I've lost interest. Carry on, Phil.
I thought I owe just an explanation for why I will be an infrequent contributor over the next
Do we care? Yes. All right, we do care. Why? Why is this?
Well, a few things in addition to the charity work that I'm doing, for which you should commend me.
You are duly commended.
I am also doing more producing and directing of second unit on a new feature film, one of the actors of which I'm excited to be working with is Aidan Turner, who was... a regular on the EastEnders for quite some time. I'm also acting. Keep it a secret.
Wow.
I'm acting in a feature film that's shooting this coming month.
It's all good, and you see what happens when you do the Midweek Drive. That magic occurs, and all sorts of wonderments take place. It's great stuff.
So I'm hoping that I might be able to even if I'm not able to do some reports from on location on these things, I might be able to pull some talent from these productions and have them fill in for me.
You know the way we work, it's always important. It spreads the word, it keeps the happiness going, and also, I feel, brings a bit more civilization to the world. Actually, also, we've been talking about Midweek Drive folk doing sensational things. Check out MikeDoThese.com. He's just launched a new fantastic way of actually educating folk. It's a joint project in Kenya, which is truly wonderful and well worth listening to in all sorts of ways. Let us progress. Katie, we haven't really got around to those director's notes at all, and there's only that 3 minutes to go. Even if we talk up to the end and I give you the sort of end of the line quote, which I think we'll stick with Mike Dooley, simply be the best you can. Be the best you can, that's all I have to say. What is your thoughts that we should ask Phil at this stage? What should we sort of, you know, throw at him? What questions would you like to ask him?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It was brief. Yeah. It was brief, but it was memorable.
Give me a number between 1 and 70, Phil.
So much math.
Yeah.
44, because 44 is
right.
The age I... 44 is the age I turn on Sunday.
No.
So I'm picking 44.
It'll be the happy birthday. All right, what's the question, Tasha?
It's not a great choice, I can't.
Go for it.
Adolf Hitler
nice.
Wrote Mein Kampf. Mm. What does it mean?
Well, there we are. Straight down the line for you, Phil. You know, what does Mein Kampf mean?
I actually knew that one.
So do I, actually.
You
yeah.
too. It was a
yeah,
shocker.
Too, exactly.
You have one trick question in here.
Do I?
It's naughty.
There you are. Right. Anyway, that is one of the questions you will be faced with at the Lincolnshire Literary Quiz. Are you going to be there, Nicola?
I am, yes. I can't wait.
Ed?
I am, indeed.
Tasha?
I'm camerawoman for Hannah.
You're both doing your way. Camerawoman for Hannah, taking shots of the switching on of the Christmas lights. So, sorry, Katie, you're not going away. We'll find ways to actually get you there. Because you've been there. If some of you travel there. Is that right? You travelled you around.
I was going to go to the library and which is more important.
And on that literal bombshell, Katie Grimason goes off to the library. We remind you, the Midweek Drive morning edition is on tomorrow. What's the next question for Phil Leonis, please?
Can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
You will connect with me in the future. Who knows how near?
Exactly.
That remains to be seen.
That's so true in so many ways. Thanks to Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, Katie Grimason, Tasha Turney, and Hannah O'Brien, and thanks early to Angela Rippon, of course. And there are photos. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Penny Roberts, Jean Bruce Scott, Michelle Monroe, Shane Rimmer, Arthur Weingarten, and you, Phil Leonis, and thank you, dear listener, for simply being there and doing wondrous things. The Abomination Girls are coming up very, very shortly to do a whole heap of fantastic things. That'll be in about 30 minutes. More maths of Phil. I don't know. You can cope with the whole setup, etc. Phil Leonis will return. Are we going for Lily Holliman on the day of her official launch next week? I mean, technically you'll be waking up with Lily before she does the actual show on the evening. Is she going to be up for that, Phil? What do you think?
I think that would be a brilliant idea, and from what I heard, the very first preview garnered a standing ovation, so it'll be exciting to see what she has to say opening day.
It'll be brilliant. There we are. Lily Holliman will be back in the slot, etc. It's time to say bye-bye before the news comes up.
Bye.
And drive carefully, Phil. Drive very carefully. Happy Thanksgiving.
107.3 FM, your community radio station in Lincoln.